This episode of Steel Wars is available in full video at youtube.com/Steel Wars. The link is in this episode's show description notes. Just look down there on your app, click it, and treat your eyes. Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And each week, normally, we speak to a person of interest about Star Wars, but this week, it's four times the action. Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, maybe not. It depends on which guest we're talking to at the time. But I thought it would be interesting because I was they just announced officially after months of rumors, and we'll talk about that in a little bit because we've got some rumor mongers on the line. Little gossips, little chirpy tweeters. But it was announced that Bad Batch is going to be a cartoon on Disney Plus. And I haven't got the tweet in front of me here, but it was a tale of two cities from a certain point of view. Corey's tweet was just like, praise Filoni. This is the New Testament. I'm here. Corey's up on the mountain shirtless with his hard drive ready to download, taking in the good word. And then underneath that, I think was the emoji equivalent of a girl doing a meh thing from our beloved podcast friends at the Cano Bite Dispatch. So I thought it'd be fun to get both these podcasts on for a bit of a podcast tag team match where our guests, who I'll introduce from the Kessel Run Transmissions. Is that the right way around?
That's yes, the way. You got it.
Do you know the thing about that? Because these guys have formed their two channels together and done a remix name, is even when idiots like me have finally remembered it, you still, with every time you get introduced afterwards, even if they get it right, go, did I get it right? Am I so
well, to be fair, I have changed the name of my podcast four times at this point.
Well, so I the internet's not known for being fair, so let's not change it up too much. Let's stick with it. But we have got from Kessel Run Transmissions, Corey Van Dyke, our old buddy.
What's up?
And I think maybe I'm not sure if you were on at Celebration or not, but
I don't know.
Probably you have this distinction, Noah.
Oh, yeah.
That you're about to extinguish. Probably my favorite Star Wars content creator that hasn't been on the show.
Oh, wow. I appreciate it. And I'm happy I'm finally on the show.
Keep in mind, I've had lots on the show. So,
all right. Well, then thanks for that. And I'll take it as best I can.
But because I'm doing this thing, because I've just mainly watched you on YouTube, seeing you now on the screen, I'm like, oh, my TV's talking back to me. That is really strange.
Oh, man. Well, no, thanks for having me on. I've been wanting to come on for a long time, but you never hit me up, so. Oh, did we pause?
And on our... What'd you say?
I know you froze on my
you
screen.
You froze up for a second.
Yeah.
So it was a very awkward pause.
Yeah.
Okay. I may have frozen in my heart as well. I'm not sure. It could have been a total thing. But our contrarians returning back to the podcast from the Canto Bite Dispatch, we have got live from New York, Emily Lind. How are you doing, Emily?
I'm here. I'm ready to fulfill my role of being the negative person who is not quite as negative as Robbo.
Wow, that's a harsh comparison. I don't think you could rise to those lofty heights. And from her San Diegan bed, we have got downtown Brittany Brown. How are you doing, buddy?
Hi, I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me, and I am ready to fight.
Oh.
It's not about fighting.
Oh, God.
It's about ebony and ivory living in perfect harmony, you know, all that good stuff. But I love you've got that frosted thing. You look like an angel. You've got some YouTube effect on where the back's blurred or something.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, you look like you've been touched by God, Brittany. So
it's the nicest thing I've heard all day. Thank you.
Nice. And congratulations, you guys, on 150 episodes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Going up this week. Very, very exciting. Awesome. Now, let's get to the topic at hand. Corey Van Dyke.
Yes.
Wearing his signature free Star Wars Episode 9 beanie.
That's right.
Which I do have to say, credit to you, Corey. They gave out maybe 7,000 of those things. But you've made it your own.
I know, it's so weird.
Like, you were the one that made it his iconic headwear. So, that says something, buddy.
I don't even like the movie.
I was about to say, we're always arguing about how he's always telling me how bad the movie is. And I'm like, why are you wearing that on your head then? Like, take it off if you're going to talk so much crap about the movie, man.
He thinks funny. The best thing about that movie is his warm head.
Hey, man.
So, Corey, Bad Batch announced officially on StarWars.com. Let the good people of the internet know what's officially been said.
Yeah, I mean, even with that announcement, I go back to when we were at Comic-Con 2 years ago and they announced Clone Wars coming back, right? Like, we were in that room, we had that whole journey, and then now they're just like, they were saying how... You know, who would have thought that there'd be a Clone Wars sequel after the Clone Wars came out? But here we are. Yes.
Can you save the gloating for a little bit longer? We just want the facts.
Okay. Yeah, so The Bad Batch is a sequel to the Clone Wars, which follows The Bad Batch that we see in Season 7 with the addition of Echo now. It's going to be executive produced by Dave Filoni, though Dave Filoni is, according to the press release, is only the executive producer. He's not writing or directing any of the series, so kind of like Resistance, so I wouldn't expect he's going to do too much. I think it's Brandon Rao is the supervising director who worked on Rebels and Resistance. And then one of the head writers, Jennifer, I think Cobit was her name, wrote on Resistance and NCIS. So those are the leads of the show. The same writers that wrote the Bad Batch arc and a lot of arcs in the Clone Wars are coming back for this series. And it's going to follow these clones, the Bad Batch, right after the Siege of Mandalore. Right after Order 66, and they're mercenaries now trying to stay afloat in the galaxy. So a lot of potential here.
Interesting. And how long after like Order 66 is this meant to be set?
Immediately after. Yeah.
Okay. That.
It'll probably also be some like, we'll probably see Order 66 from the Bad Batch's perspective.
Yeah.
That'll probably be like the opening of the series.
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, this is just Back to the Future 3 then. Hey, Noah, you might just have to turn up a little bit.
My mic?
That's the action, buddy. I need all of you. So this is on Disney Plus next year. Now, before we get into people's opinions, I thought we should just establish ourselves with and I know you guys did a YouTube about this not too long ago, if you had Kathleen Kennedy's ear and she had one check for one animated series on Disney Plus, what would your dream show be? Let's go with you, Brittany.
I have thought long and hard about this, and I feel like we should have an animated series about Jyn Erso. I mean, I know that we're getting a Cassian series, but wouldn't that be so cool to figure out what Jyn was doing for the past couple of years? I mean, it'd be a great opportunity to get Saw Gerrera back and, you know, a lot of different characters. Like, I think that would be so cool to see her, you know, see her younger and see her grow into, you know, the character that she becomes into Rogue One. So that's my show.
Excellent. Noah.
My show is, you know, I'm a huge Rise of, do I sound better now, by the way? Does it sound any better?
You sound great.
All right, cool. I'm a huge Rise of Skywalker fan. Corey knows that, and we argue about it every day, pretty much. And I just want to see those characters again. And I think that I have this idea for a series where it's 6 years after the Rise of Skywalker, Rey is training Finn now, and Poe and Rose are there, and they're kind of, you know, there's no war anymore, so they're just kind of hanging out. No, they're just hanging out. They're, you know, they were the heroes of the galaxy. They can do whatever they want. But one day they're, you know, they're just hanging out. They're vacationing on like Naboo and stuff. Like, they're just doing whatever they want. And but one day Rey and Finn both feel like this disturbance in the Force, and they have to track down the disturbance. And through the course of the show, we find out that it's actually Broom Boy, who is now a teenager, and he's kind of honed his powers a little bit, and he's using them for personal gain, not doing the right thing.
Oh.
They kind of have to deal with that.
How dare you?
Make him evil.
The bad Broom Boy. Jeez. Emily, what do you got?
Okay. First of all, I want to preface this that Steele only said he wanted this like 2 hours ago, so mine is not as fleshed out as I would like it to be. But I would say it's going to be set in a time when the Jedi Order is still fairly prominently in power. So considering they're doing like High Republic stuff, you could maybe set it around there. But the Jedi would actually be like not necessarily the main, but one of the antagonists in the series. Not evil, but are our main character's sort of nemesis. I would have it be set on a pirate ship, and the main character is somebody.
Wait, a pirate spaceship?
Yes.
Okay.
Pirates. Not like a high seas adventure.
Well, but... I'm in the last season of Lost, so when you said pirate ship, I'm just like, ah, yeah, pirate ship. That's, yeah, you don't see that in Star Wars. Like, what, does it take off? What's going on? Okay, so a pirate spaceship.
Yes, and our main character is somebody whose sibling was taken to be trained by the Jedi when they were a little kid, and it sort of ruined their family because, you know, all of a sudden their brother or sister is gone, and their parents are kind of fucked up about it because of the whole Jedi, like, hey, no attachments thing. And so they are strongly against the Jedi, which for most of the galaxy is this shining bright light, but they're super bitter about it. And I'd have mostly an alien crew, I think, maybe an entirely alien crew, and no precocious kids and or teenagers, all adults. I think this is something that, like, I think of a lot when you talk about, oh, well, you know, this cartoon is for kids and this cartoon is for kids. Most of the stuff that I really connected with when I was a kid didn't have kids as main characters. And I don't think it's necessary. I think kids can perfectly easily, like, watch shows that are about adult characters and still connect with them.
Yeah, well, I know. I loved Mask, Mobile Armored Strike Command. But Command spelt with a K for some bizarre reason.
To anyway. Fit the acronym, I assume.
Yeah.
they're from the streets. But there was a kid, Matt Tracker, his son, would sort of follow them around on adventures, and he had a sort of R2-D2 bikey droid thing. And whenever he came on, it's like, nah, off back to the truck that turns into the base and the car that jet. I don't want to see a kid like going, oh, the what? No. Outside of the Transformers films, too many humans. Yeah. There was no humans in the cartoons, and we loved it. Come on. So that's an interesting one. What about you, Corey?
Yeah. So
does it feature the former Jedi Ahsoka Tano?
So listen, I think that a cool premise for a story. I actually think that it's a crime that we haven't gotten any show or movie featuring Luke, Leia, and Han post Return of the Jedi. I cannot believe that we're now almost 6 years into the Disney era of Star Wars and we haven't seen any animated shows with them in it. So what I would do is I would do an animated series set after Return of the Jedi with Luke, Han, and Leia, but throw Ahsoka in there and have Luke and Ahsoka, you know, sort of meet for the first time, because clearly Ahsoka lives through everything. So might as well throw in here too. You know, have Luke and Ahsoka go around trying to rebuild the Jedi Order, and you can have Lando in there and throw new characters in there. But I think it'd be interesting to have the person who was being trained by Luke's father, you know, in Luke's life all of a sudden and training him, helping him out with what he has to learn, because he still has to learn a lot, I think, after Return of the Jedi. And then it gives you a chance to flesh out more stories with Han and Leia and Chewie. And Clone Wars animated style, you know, I think would be awesome. Same quality, the same tone. Don't make it light. Don't make it goofy.
Same hat.
Hey, man, whose hat?
The hat.
Oh, Dave Filoni, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, hat so I would. Magic. It's glorious. It's weird when I see him without it. But yes, I would love a post Return of the Jedi series starring those characters.
Okay. My one is very close to yours, Corey. I think, especially if I was going to get a cut of the profits, the most profitable thing that Lucasfilm could do that would also, I would love, animated series between the two trilogies. The thing, I was thinking about this morning, the thing that Star Wars fans as a whole want the most, if you did a survey and then made a medium thing, sure, you and your friends maybe you hate the idea, but I guarantee the most people, the one thing they want is Luke Skywalker turning on his lightsaber and then doing cool stuff with it.
Yeah.
I think that's the most across the board crowd pleasing thing. You know, that was like one of the, a group of people's huge complaint about a film was that he didn't. It sort of, you know, broke people's hearts. But yeah, that would be mine. And when you start, listen, Ahsoka, she's got a lot on, Corey. I don't know. I think she might be too hectic to be catching up with Luke. It'd just be, hey, as we always say, if it's done good, then it's
yes, good. Yeah, absolutely.
But Ahsoka's just, she just pops her little head up. Where hasn't she been that she could have?
Well, I think the funny thing about a lot of the stuff I see with Ahsoka is she, well, I will say I was not a fan of her inclusion in Rebels, but I thought she was okay in there, but she hasn't really popped up in a lot other than Clone Wars and Rebels and supposedly The Mandalorian, which is pretty much confirmed at this point. But, and I guess now the Rebels sequel. Okay. So yeah, I mean, listen, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot, but I still feel like her and Luke meeting would be such a key thing. You know, she doesn't have to be a main character, but at least appear in it.
Yeah. I don't know. She's fast becoming, if she was in this thing that we just made up, and then she meets Yoju, if you will.
No.
She's Star Wars Forrest Gump.
She
meets everyone.
Yeah, she's around.
And I bet you she's really good at ping pong as well. She could cheat. So, all right. So let's. I've listed down everyone's ideas. And then we've got the Bad Batch one. And I think at the end of the episode, we will vote on our top three and see which one gets green lit by our panel.
Okay. What do we win? What's the prize?
I will give you a childhood C-3PO eraser.
Wow.
Lucasfilm Limited, 1983, all rights reserved. Hey, made in Hong Kong. So that is a quality eraser.
You have that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. So that's
That's very sentimental to be given away.
Wow, that was before I was born.
Oh, well, Emily put me on the spot. And because I didn't have, like, a good comeback, I was like, oh, I have to find a prize now.
You just found one of your most sentimental items.
I was just going to say those paintings behind you look really nice.
No, that is no. That's.
I mean, really, I was angling for cash, but okay. Or
you can eBay it, I guess.
Heck yeah.
The eraser market is just getting bigger and bigger. So, Corey, or Noah, tell us, you guys have been, you came out with this rumor maybe about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just about 4 weeks ago. It was like just this time in June. Yeah.
All right. So how do you come across something like this? Does Filoni like call from a private number, or is he just FaceTiming you? What's going on?
Well, what it is actually, you know, we were at dinner with Filoni, George Lucas, and Kathleen Kennedy, all of them.
And Brie Larson, don't forget.
Brie Larson was there as well. She runs it all. I don't know if you know that, but Brie Larson's like she's the head honcho in that group. And they let us know. They told us a bunch of stuff that we can't talk about yet. And it was a fun dinner. And that's how we get this kind of information.
That's right.
So when you get the information from this dinner. And I'm hoping for a snap to reality. like, what's your vibe? You're thinking it's, you know, spot on. Your source has obviously got some sort of credentials that you respect, especially, you know, you're proven you're correct in your trustworthiness of this person or persona. What's your first? Are you excited? What do you think? How do you think the fan base is going to react to it?
Personally, when we heard Bad Batch for the first time, I kind of had a reaction that a lot of people did. I said, really? Okay. And you know, I think it's going to be fun. I think it has a lot of potential, but, my first, I was surprised, but then, you know, it makes sense that, you know, they included that arc in season 7 when they could have had they had a lot of options and they included that. So, you know, it made sense that they were going to go in this direction. And I'm excited. And I know Corey is. I know Corey can touch on this too. But, you know, Corey, I like the Clone Wars, but everyone knows Corey is super into Clone Wars. So he's hitting me up. He was like, dude, I can't. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And, you know, and Corey's, you know, excitement is contagious when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I think just hearing him talk about it made me more excited for the prospect of seeing these guys on screen for an entire series, which, you know, after 4 episodes, I was like, oh, these guys are cool, but let's go. But we'll see. There's a lot of opportunities that they can have, and there's a lot of potential.
Corey, you may now gloat.
Okay, yeah. So I had heard about this back when Siege of Mandalore was airing, and my first initial thought was So initially I was very skeptical. You know, I trust my source 100%. This person also told us about Rebels and all that. So I was already 100% trusting this individual. And so I was like, really? The Bad Batch? I mean, out of all the things they could do, the Bad Batch. So for a while, I was kind of like floating the idea around to other sources and figuring out if this was something that was happening. But everyone kept telling us, like, no, it is happening. And then it got to a certain point where, you know, because we were trying to initially run it when Clone Wars was airing. But I was like, if we're wrong about this, we're going to get a lot of Clone Wars fans hyped for something that, that might not happen. And that's something that we never want to do at all. And
you just rather do it to yourself.
Oh, dude, it was bad for a while. So as the weeks went on, we finally got more confirmation of it. And we're like, well, let's do it. And we ran with it. And I always figured Rebels was going to get announced first. But from what we were told is this was going to be announced first because of the hype of Clone Wars. And that made sense to me. And then it was announced. So it was exciting because, you know, I don't put out stuff like this. It's not something I usually do. But with the way the world is right now and the drought of news, we just wanted to share some positive Star Wars news with people. And that's really our goal in sharing show titles and whatnot, which is as far as we'll go. So, yeah, that's how that happened.
And did you guys know this announcement was coming, or did you just wake up and
had no idea? No, it was interesting how we found out.
Yeah, it was funny because the night before I barely slept at all, so I was kind of like dozing off, and then I got a notification on my phone. I didn't check it because I'm trying to like just go to sleep, and I just keep getting notifications, and I'm like, what is going on? And I pick up my phone, and it's just people tweeting at me and Corey, like, hey, good job guys on the scoop. And I was like, immediately, my first thought was, is it Bad Batch or is it Rebel sequel? And so I opened it up, saw it was Bad Batch, call Corey. He doesn't answer my call. And I'm like, Corey, come on. And then I get a FaceTime. This guy's in bed, hair all messed up. Like, what, dude? And I'm like, dude, Bad Batch, confirmed. Lucasfilm just announced it. And then he like jumped. Never seen that kid move faster in his life. He jumped out of bed. It was and it was exciting. It was fun to finally. Yeah. It's hard, you know, when you do so, when you report on something like that, and a lot of people doubt you. You know, like Reddit was our worst enemy. Like they were.
Oh,
they literally
God.
Told people that if they post our reports that they should be banned. That's how much we were like kind of dealing with from people like that. So when it finally gets confirmed, it's like it was a big deal for us, you know.
Yeah, there was something interesting about seeing Reddit change its tone when this all came. That's the first thing I did. I'm like, I gotta check Reddit, and it was like all these comments of people going like, oh shit, like they were right. But again, I understand, right? When somebody puts something up for the first time, your first natural instinct, especially on YouTube, is The idea of a Bad Batch show seems so unlikely that it sounds like something somebody would make up, right? And I knew that when we put it out. I'm like, this sounds so bad, but it's the truth. So
I'm holding it. When I heard about there was going to be a TV show about a Mandalorian, I was like, I'm going to watch it, but it's not what I do. And it's one of my favorite things ever. So I am, you know, how they can twist the story. Or then there's my other thing is like, it could be just the most paint by numbers. This is what it is. Morning cartoon. Emily, what did you make of the announcement?
I mean, I'm not like going to be angry about it or anything. Cause honestly, even if I end up thinking the show is like the most dirt worst, like piece of shit ever, like, who cares? Because there's plenty of Star Wars out there that I do enjoy, and that's fine. I mean, it's...
God, that's going to be some tweet, Emily.
It's disappointing in terms of... I wish it was something I could get excited about. And this, for me, just isn't... I mean, there were bits of that, you know, of that Clone Wars arc that I enjoyed, but for the most part, it was such a... cliched like 80s action movie, like there's this guy and there's this other guy and there's another guy, and there's such like those archetypes that I already don't enjoy. Like there's basically no version of that stuff that I enjoy with that story. And so just because it has this Star Wars skin painted on it, it's not my thing. And also I gotta admit, one of my first reactions was, whatever the show ends up being, at the announcement, this show is a bunch of dudes. And it's frustrating because even if they end up having, you know, like even if they end up having like several female characters, the fact that they don't seem to be considering the optics of that at all in their announcements is concerning to me.
What about if there was a fifth Bad Batch member? And it's like Bad Batchette. And she's just got blonde hair coming out the bottom of her helmet or something like that. Would that be a bit token for you, or what's the deal there?
I would not trust Star Wars to handle the implications of a female clone particularly well, no.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like a female Tamira. Oh, that's a Photoshop I want to see. That's interesting. Okay. The thing about it is, like, people love the Bad Batch. All good. And in the episodes, that was quite good. But and you don't know where the story's going to go, but it seems like they're taking it, like, just doing it on the Bad Batch kind of, like, makes it more of a generic story to sci-fi animation rather than a Star Wars story. Like, if it's just, like, mercenaries in space, I don't know. It's like, how's the Force going to be involved with it? It's sort of, I don't know. It feels like, even though it's established Star Wars characters, that where it could go could be sort of less Star Warsy. Does that make sense, Brittany?
Yeah.
What do you think, buddy?
I mean, I'm happy for Corey because this is everything he's ever wanted and more.
Listen, Brittany, I'm sick of these "I'm happy for Corey" announcements. I want some, like, everything's coming up Saunders press releases. I've spent 2 years being happy for Corey. Sick of it. Done.
I will spend the rest of my life being happy for Corey and supporting Corey.
Thank you.
But I hate this.
Oh, thank God you just actually said it. Do you know how hard it is to get Brittany to just straight out say she doesn't like something?
What the heck? I mean, like, I get it. Like, people really like clones, but that's it. That's it. That's the show. Just a bunch of clones together. Oh, we're fighting. We're clones. That's the show. That's it. And then they're going to meet with more clones, or, you know, they're going to fight non-clones, and they're going to talk about clankers. And if I have to hear, someone say clankers, just the way they say it, like clankers, like, I didn't sign up for this. And I mean, I get it. Like, a lot of people have signed up for this, including our lovely friend Corey, but I didn't. And it's fine. Like, I'll get my cup of tea Star Wars maybe in the next year or 75 years. But, you know, it's great for some people, just not me.
Oh, my God. I did a new episode of Star Wars You Buy podcast today with Hawes, and I was telling him about my concept for tonight's show. And he begged me just to be able to listen in live, and Brittany's just shown why. That was epic.
That was good.
That was epic. So, Corey, you hear that? What's your pitch back? You know, you're losing these investment dollars.
Yeah.
You know, Brittany's got, like, she's at Disneyland when she can be, like, you know, every 3 days she bumps into Bobby I, has his ear. So how can you win her over to get this, to keep it green lit, Corey?
Okay. So I should say that my opinion of the Bad Batch arc has changed since I initially saw it. So when it came out, it was the hype of Clone Wars coming back. So I'll be honest, some blinders were on for me. I was like, all right, it's back. I rewatched the arc recently after watching Siege of Mandalore, which is a masterpiece. And then when I watched The Bad Batch, I'm like, yes, interesting. Here's my feelings on The Bad Batch, I think, which is kind of important to note.
So you like it less because the other one was so good?
It shows me what they can do. So with the Bad Batch, I think they're just okay. I agree. I don't like the trope. Every time I see Hunter with the headband, I'm like, take it off. And it's and Wrecker annoys the shit out of me. So
wait. You have a problem with somebody having a signature bit of headgear?
And someone annoys the shit out of you? Who is this?
Listen, no, it's just listen, he smells the ground to detect things, and it's weird. So I like, he can like hear the vibrations, and they never talk about it again. It's weird. And then I love Crosshair the most. He's pretty cool. I like Hunter, but the headband, wow, I shouldn't be talking about a headband like that. That's weird. But it's because of the 80s trope. It's not because he's wearing it. Like, if it wasn't because of that, you know, I agree. It's weird. But Echo is now involved. So that changes it for me a little bit, because Echo is a clone who we follow throughout the Clone Wars. So there is some sentimental value in the sense that he's going to be a part of it. If he wasn't a part of it, So, and I think the main thing about the series that I'm excited for is really what it could do rather than what it is. So I'm a huge clone fan. My favorite Star Wars character ever is Fives. So, you know, already there I have some feelings about the clones. And an idea that I always thought would be cool is, well, what happens to them after the Clone Wars? And, you know, things we've heard is that Rex and Ahsoka come into play in the series with hunting down or finding clones to get their inhibitor chips out. So that includes, you know, clones like Cody and Wolf and Gregor, which I think is a cool concept. I think it's cool that the series could set up the Bad Batch being mercenaries first, but I don't want lighthearted slapstick comedy in this. It shouldn't be. This should be a full-on, like, they were just fighting a false war. This should not be, okay, this is the cavalry has arrived, number two. Like, we should not be getting any of that in the series. It should just be like, wow, we were played the whole time. We killed the Jedi. Yeah, I know. So
if they, I just, when they show the trailer for it, oh, I just so hope that line is actually in it.
It probably will be. So, but I like the idea of them giving it a darker tone, showing the clones in this dark place. Which, but
has there been
be.
any hints of that, or are you just like talking what Corey wants?
There have been hints of that from what we've heard with Rex. Yeah. Rex's mental state is not great right now because of everything they just went through, and his mission is to help other clones that have gone through it, but he's I mean, severely messed up after everything that happened in the Siege of Mandalore. And I think same will go for Ahsoka. She's not going to be in it a lot, because she has to go out and farm in the Ahsoka book, unfortunately. So she won't be in it too much, but yeah, the vibe I've gotten from it, from what we've heard, is not a Resistance Rebels lighthearted tone. It sounds to me like this is very much in line with the Clone Wars darker tones. Even when I saw the logo, I was like, yeah, that's not like a light logo and happiness going on. It's a very, like, you know, disintegrated looking logo. So, I mean, in terms of convincing anyone, to be honest, like, I get it. I actually this is like one of the very rare occasions in Clone Wars that I understand why you guys might have problems with these characters. And I agree, like, I'm all for seeing clones because I love clones, but people who don't like clones, this isn't for you. It's definitely not for you. But yes.
So Emily, with Corey talking about how it's going to be a darkier, grittier clone, you know, sort of story, like, that sounds like it might be more up your alley than a regular clone trooper tale from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, and it sort of depends where they go with that, because I think, and you know, like, this is something that Brittany has heard me say many, many times before when I was going through the Clone Wars, which is I wanted them to explore more what it meant for the Jedi and the Republic to be using a clone army, and how, like, screwed up that is, that you have these people who, and we find, do get a reference to it where it's, you know, if this war didn't happen, we didn't exist, but that still doesn't excuse that you've, like, bred these people and raise them from childhood to be soldiers, and how like that's how I like, and I get it, it's, you know, it's still for kids, but I always wanted them to dig into that. And if they could do that here, I think that could be interesting. I was wondering if you guys have an impression on whether or not they will have participated in Order 66, because it's a very different show if these guys killed a bunch of Jedi and were dealing with them, like, feeling the guilt over that, or if it's, no, because they're these weird, messed up special clones, maybe their chips didn't work or something, and so they were never part of it. Because I kind of feel like Star Wars probably doesn't want to do a show where all your main characters are a bunch of murderers, but I think it's so cheap to just be like, no, they're special. They didn't do any of that stuff.
How bad is this batch? That's what we want to know.
I think that the original four members absolutely will. I think the one character who won't is Echo, and I think this is where the concept of the show could get interesting, where Echo, they all get the order, but Echo doesn't, because obviously, I feel like if there's any clone that wouldn't get it, it's Echo, because of how messed up he is after being experimented on. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of the Bad Batch executing Order 66 and Echo going along with it, but fully conscious of what he's doing, so confused by everything, which he would be at this point anyways. I think it was only a few weeks before Revenge of the Sith that Bad Batch takes place. So Echo really has no idea what's going on. So I feel like he would follow, you know, these guys and the order.
And shoot Yaddle with the rest of them.
That's right. But what's interesting is one of the arcs that was unproduced for Clone Wars for season 8 was the Bad Batch on Kashyyyk, which we know that Luminar is also on Kashyyyk. And we know that clearly Luminar was delivered to the Grand Inquisitor to, you know, well, she died. Obviously, as we see in Rebels, she like transforms into that skeleton. So I'm gonna, if I were to guess, I would say
that was the bizarrest thing that has ever been in Star Wars.
Yeah,
that was like Christian Shepherd in Lot. That was just
it was the weirdest like fakery of tone for the series, right? Like you thought, oh my god, this series is going to be screwed up, and then they never do anything as dark as that going forward. It was super weird.
That jolted me.
Yeah, like, it was creepy. Like,
oh, but continue, Corey. Sorry.
Yeah.
We forget about that weird zombie Luminara.
It's creepy, dude. Yeah, absolutely. So I could see them playing into that a little bit, where they're responsible for Luminara's capture. But I do agree with what Emily said. If they don't execute Order 66 and it's just another lighthearted thing, I'm out at that point, to be honest.
Oh, you're so full of it, Corey.
I mean, listen, I'll watch it, but in terms of like, how, if it's like
how hard you are trying to act, I'm out. And then they have the sizzle clip for the next week where Ahsoka comes in, and you're just like doing like reaction videos to tweets about it and stuff.
Listen, if I was I didn't like Rebels because of the lighthearted tone of it and the constant like gags and not taking anything seriously. And I will say one thing I want to say about Clone Wars is an arc that I always point to as Umbara, when the clones are tested like beyond their limits. And it's the first time we really see a very dark storyline with the clones, where they end up killing each other because Corell pits them against each other. And then, you know, they have to end up killing Corell, a Jedi who's obviously turned to the dark side. And it's a very, very dark tone. And the writer who wrote that arc is one of the head writers of this series. He did also write The Bad Batch, which is a very big separation from that. But my point is like, they know where they can go with these stories. They know that something like Umbara should be the tone for what this series should be, because this is in the dark times. So yeah, I mean, if they incorporate elements like that in it, I think it could be really good.
Is any of this helping Brittany?
No, not really. I don't really think that that Disney is capable of creating, and Lucasfilm creating, a dark and gritty animated show, especially a show that I feel
do I have to remind you about the zombie that came out of that cupboard in the Rebels episode?
Yeah, but that happened once. Like, that's the thing, is that all these things are one-time appearances. You know, like the Umbara arc, that was a one-time appearance. Like, I feel like these shows are really good at showing a shock, but shock only once. And I feel like that's what this Bad Batch show is going to be, is that, you know, the first 5 minutes of every episode, or just one episode, they're going to be like, gosh, that war was all for nothing. And then it's going to be like jokes and jokes and jokes, because that's what the animated series have become, like Resistance. All Resistance was just jokes, not really funny jokes, and like even more bad jokes. And I don't want the animated series or this one to turn into that. And then out Ahsoka, like, that's the mystery part. You gotta put Ahsoka in it, because everyone likes Ahsoka. So I don't know.
What I'll say about Ahsoka.
I just have to say, Brittany's making some disturbingly compelling points.
Like, oh yeah.
While she's like talking about the jokes, I'm just like going, oh yeah.
Oh no, Brittany's not wrong at all.
Please, please don't let anyone be clumsy, please.
I genuinely couldn't agree more. I feel like that is my, like, you know, one of my best friends, Ross, who is also the Fives figure that Steele always jokes about.
Oh my god.
Yes. Me and him are like massive Clone Wars fans, and he feels the same way I do. He's like, I can't get excited until we see the first season, because it's possible that Lucasfilm is going to go in the same direction they did with Rebels and Resistance, and have just this weird people tripping over boxes, like, ah, that's funny, or bashing. Like, I thought it was kind of screwed up with Resistance, where like Kaz would fall over an edge, or like they would bash him in the head, and like, you know, it was weird. And it's just, if what concerns me is the fact that the same people that worked on Resistance and Rebels primarily are working on this show. So if they don't, if it's Resistance, oh my god, you know, it's going to use the same animation as the Clone Wars, which is, I mean, that it costs a lot of money. And the thing about like something like the Siege of Mandalore, you can't come down from that. You really can't come down from that. I mean, if this is a drop in quality from that, it just shows you that the potential for what could be on Siege of Mandalore level isn't, and it could be.
We'll never get that again. We'll never get a Siege of Mandalore again.
It'd be interesting. They must have metrics about like how many people watch that Clone Wars finale. Because wasn't it like the number one streamed thing for a couple of weeks or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like compared to Resistance, which was, I guess, on TV. It was on an app that I watched it on.
Dude, it was on Disney Channel at 10 p.m. on Sundays. The prime time for kids.
It's weird how they... Yeah. But, yeah, you would think, and maybe that's what sort of got it over the line. Maybe that was, like, the success of the Clone Wars is what... is why we're getting more of the same sort of thing. But it doesn't, the disappointing thing about it to me, and you know, I don't have the deep knowledge to imagine like new storylines and stuff, but it just doesn't, the announcement doesn't spark my imagination.
Sure.
I'm really quite, well, they're just going to be going on missions, and it's, I don't know. It's apart from like cameos and stuff, I just don't see what it's going to be. But what would you say to that, Noah? How would you lift my spirits? Because Brittany, I'm agreeing with a lot of what Brittany's saying here.
Yeah, and I totally understand it, because I don't not feel that way. But the thing is, what I think is going to be cool is I think that the Bad Batch is kind of a perfect like conduit into this time period for us to see what's going on with the clones, what's going on with Rex, what's going on with Cody. I think, you know, I really think Cody is going to end up kind of being a bad, like one of the main villains of the show. I really do. And I think because he's obviously has his chip in, and I think he's going to be kind of looking for Rex. And maybe at the end of season one or at the series finale, they'll have a big face off. And Ahsoka, you know, whatever. I'm sorry, Corey, whatever. But the thing is, like, I just think they're going to be used as just kind of like just a way to get us in this time period and show us what the galaxy is like at the early Empire. Maybe we'll see Vader, you know, who knows? Like, I don't know. I just think if they strictly stick with like the Bad Batch the whole time, as like the main characters and really nothing much else, it's just them running around doing missions and stuff, I think it's going to be a bad time, genuinely. But I think if they do it right and they kind of do some, if they explore the galaxy in this time period, and characters from Clone Wars, or even some maybe from Rebels, maybe from the movies, maybe, you know, somebody, Cassian Andor's running around, who knows? But I think they can, if they do something like that, I think it'll be pretty good. It's just, we don't know. And it's just, I'm interested to see what they do, you know.
Emily.
Yes.
Are you higher or lower in excitement after this?
Well, here's the thing, is it's not that I don't think you can do anything interesting with the Bad Batch. It's that I don't think they will. And I think it's going to be G.I. Joe, but Star Wars. And it's just going to, like, to the point where there's, like, don't talk to strangers, knowing is half the battle message at the end of the episodes. And I just, like, you could do interesting stuff here. But I also think that, you know, if we could pick pretty much any character or arc from any Star Wars and find a way to be like, oh, but it would be cool if they did this. It's just, I just don't have faith that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. I have never seen a G.I. Joe cartoon, but I do think on Disney Plus I'm going to see one next year. Like, I don't know what a G.I. Joe cartoon's like, but that's what I imagine exactly is like. Whatever it's like, that's what this cartoon's going to be like with TIE fighters sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay,
what about this, Emily?
Okay.
They have a faux panel, Star Wars Celebration, digital edition or whatever. And you're going to see the early years of Moff Gideon.
Yeah. I'm more interested.
Oh, okay.
I like that a lot.
I think that would be awesome, yeah.
I like that a lot. That's cool, man.
Brittany?
Yeah. That's cool.
Brittany's still not sold.
I like this, like, just not. I'm sitting in bed. Whatever you say, Beanie Boy, I don't care.
I don't care. No, I do. I care about what you guys have to say and think.
That sounded so genuine, really.
Yeah, very genuine.
Really being mocked here. What's your best case scenario, Brittany?
Well, I mean, just with the shows in general, or just
life?
With this one.
Just life. Well, the best case scenario with this, like, Bad Batch show is that they don't go into the same route that they've been doing with these animated shows for the past 5 years, and that, you know, they put a lot of thought into character development and building plots and having the audience become more invested. And I feel like it's going to be difficult already for an audience to do that because, you know, people know Star Wars, but I feel like people don't know the Clone Wars and the clones as well as, you know, Luke and Leia, like our OG characters. And I feel like, you know, these fans, you know, like the Corys of the world are, if the show is as good as you guys think it's going to be, that the Corys of the world are going to influence a ton of people to, you know, watch this show about these clones, you know, fighting and battles within their, I don't know, clangers. I don't know. I want to be optimistic about this, but just the way the animation has been for the past like 5 years, excluding the Siege of Mandalore and this past season of the Clone Wars, because it was good. I mean, there were some arcs that really weren't great, but it ended pretty well. So.
Hey, Brittany, where do you stand on shinies?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You don't know the shinies?
They're like the... Oh, I'm a bad Clone Wars fan. What are the shinies again?
They're the new clones with the shiny.
Oh, eyes. They're the new clones.
They're always pointing out the shinies.
It's always something. Clones.
I think they say it like 3 times in the show.
Dude, they say it like every 4 minutes.
No. I'm glad that Corey has my back here because, like, for a second, I was literally like, wow, I'm going to hop off this Skype session right now. I'm out of here. I've lost all.
I think shiny could also be my forehead under this light in the Californian summer. Yeah.
You look so bronzed.
So what else are you hearing, Corey and Noah? Any other little tantalizing details about this project?
I mean, just really, one thing I will say before I forget is I think for the fans of Clone Wars, right, like specifically like me and other people who are really into it, I think this was the perfect time for them to capitalize on it because especially with me and other fans being the age we are now, since we grew up with the series, I think Disney looked at it and went, okay, while we're finishing the Clone Wars, let's carry on the story of some of these characters because now these people are older and they have money now and we can put products out and we can really, you know, this is the time. And so I see why they're doing it right now. I see why that was announced before Rebels mm-hmm. too, because yeah. It's like, this is a continuation of the Clone Wars, not the one I thought they do, but I'm certainly interested. So, you know, with that being said, I'm very cautiously optimistic about it. I agree with everything Emily and Brittany said. I think that it's absolutely a possibility that this is going to be awful. It definitely it could. And that would suck. Because, like, I love Siege of Mandalore. I'm never going to watch the Trace and Rafa episodes ever again. And I'm only going to watch, like, I only rewatched Bad Batch right now because of the announcement, or else I don't usually go back to watch it. It's usually Siege of Mandalore. And that's just how I feel. Season 7 as a whole, but the Siege of Mandalore, amazing. I think it's the best Star Wars story out there, in my opinion. So I'm all game for it. But in terms of anything else we've heard, they're making products for the show, so that's always mm-hmm. something, which means they're definitely going to be pushing it. We also had originally heard that Rebels was coming out first, which was supposed to be this year. So for whatever reason, hasn't been announced, go ahead, Noah.
And what we think is happening is with Cassian Andor, this Cassian Andor series not being able to shoot. They're supposed to start shooting in June, but obviously can't with COVID. I think that the Rebels sequel was supposed to come out in November of this year. But I think what happened is they know Cassian is not going to come out next year. So they were like, we need to have content next year. They know they're set for this year. They had Clone Wars season 7. They got Mando season 2 coming in October. So they were like, for 2021, we'll just have Rebel sequel later in the year in November of 2021 and Bad Batch. And probably, I think it's probably going to be March or April for the Bad Batch. And so it makes, and also like Corey said a minute ago, it makes sense for them to capitalize on the Bad Batch, right, you know, soon after Clone Wars season 7, because if they did Rebel sequel and then in like next year, they would, like later next year, they did Bad Batch, people would forget who the Bad Batch, they're forgettable characters. So people would forget who they are anyway. So it would kind of be like a, it would, the announcement would feel more jarring later than it does now. So I guess I see what they're doing from that. And you know, they're just trying to get, make sure they have content for 2021. And just about the show, like just there's, I know we're kind of supposed to be debating, but I think we're all on the same page. This has a lot of potential to suck. Like this can be bad, but if they just do the right thing, we can hope for the best. And I think they can, I don't know, hopefully they do it right.
I just want them to take it seriously. I mean,
right.
Post Order 66 is not supposed to be lighthearted. I mean, it's a traumatic event for all of these, everybody involved in this war. And if they treat it as if time to go on funny missions, then immediately I think we're going to get a feeling for it in the trailer whenever that drops. I think that's when we're really going to get an understanding for it. Some things about Rebels, like I would assume that's going to be more in tune with Rebels, right? So you're probably going to get the slapstick comedy in the sequel for Rebels. I don't think they're going to take that any more seriously than the original run of the show.
Okay. I'll just ask now. So this Rebels sequel, when's it set? Because that doesn't seem like when we catch up with any of these characters, like anyone should be tripping something over. Like it ended on such a, you know, like Ezra and that, they're in another part of the galaxy there. And then Ahsoka is, and Sabine are on this like quest.
Yeah.
Like
it doesn't seem like when they meet up again, it's time for wackiness.
You would think.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like what Brittany was saying, right? Is they've just shown that in the past 5 years since Rebels, that anything that should be taken seriously is spun into a joke instead of, you know, because Rebels did have its serious moments. But one thing I always, you know, talk about with Rebels is you had Darth Vader in that series, who's supposed to be this Jedi killer, and he killed no Jedi, and then he just left the show. So it's things like that that make me think that we're going to be in the same territory. I hope not.
Maybe, but the thing is, you gotta like, and we talk about this on Kessel and Radio all the time, but like, they were handcuffed. Rebels and Resistance were handcuffed with being on Disney XD.
Right. That's
there's things they couldn't show. That there's things they couldn't do on Disney XD that they can do on Disney Plus. And so that's, and we saw that with season 7. And so I think Disney Plus opens up the opportunities for more darker stuff to happen, or just make it maybe feel less funny or less slapsticky, or. And so we'll, I hope that they keep that same vibe of season 7, and I think they can now with Disney Plus and what they couldn't do on Disney XD.
When you talk about, you know, stuff they couldn't do on Disney XD, they can do on Disney Plus. All I can think of is like, someone's going to be milking one of those space cows. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if we see that, that would make the Bad Batch probably the best animated show we've seen. But thing is, I think with season 7, it was just, it felt super cinematic. It felt like a Star Wars movie. It didn't feel like it didn't feel like an animated series. Mm-hmm. And so I hope they can just take that. And I just feel like, and also with Disney XD, they didn't have the budget to do that either. So it's just, they can do a lot more with Disney Plus. And so fingers crossed that they take advantage of their budget and they don't really have many limits that like they did in the past with those other series.
So I'm just going to throw out a theory about why this show is getting made, and you guys might know something to debunk or not, but is it just those Clone Wars episodes just got such viewership that they're like, we've got to do something, like we need more of this, like it's like coming up with a new story that's set in a different time frame, that's got risk, you know, like the fan base for this Clone Wars cartoon but not other things. Do you know what I mean? Like people that, you know, they I'm sure they've got market research about people that have watched Clone Wars but not watched Rebels or Resistance. Do you know what I mean? Is it just like, this thing is so hot and we can do whatever we want on this platform. Let's just, like, this is the closest thing we can do to, like, keep this show going in a, like, a brand extension. Does that sort of fit with what you guys know? Because it just seems like, and I think this is, like, sums up what we're all sort of thinking, like, the best and the worst of us, like, of what we think of it, uninspired.
Yeah, no, actually, which is something that's kind of surprising. I know in the press release they said that they just ordered the show, but this has been in development for 2 years. Back when, something we had heard was that when Dave and the crew were talking about what arcs to put in season 7, Bad Batch was put in there specifically because they knew that this show was coming. Well, actually, to backtrack on that, they put 2 arcs in the series as 2 potential future stories. So Trace and Rafa and the Bad Batch. But the Bad Batch was ultimately the one that they picked to go with going forward, which I'm totally okay with. So, you know, and
who behind this, you know, whether you know, like, to your best of your knowledge, like, who's coming up with this concept of, we've got the Bad Batch, we can do these episodes about them, and then we've got this, like, where does that gestate from? Is this Filoni and his machinations? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is very much Dave. Dave has expressed a lot that he's done with Clone Wars, you know, so he's passing the torch down to other people. But this is very much I believe, if I read correctly, Keith Kellogg, who works on Clone Wars, helped pitch the idea for this. So I think ultimately what happened was Dave and the crew sat down and said, okay, well, what if we put this arc in so that we can establish these characters to... And by the way, they changed the ending for the Bad Batch, which I always thought was interesting in what we saw, because in the original ending for Bad Batch, Echo is never shown joining with them. And then in this iteration, this version of it, he joins them at the end. And like I said, there was supposed to be an arc plan where Echo would have joined with them eventually, but they changed that. And the minute they changed that, I was like, they're not done with these characters. They're going to do something with them. I always figured it's just going to be like a comic or something else, or they would show up in Siege of Mandalore. So yeah, I mean, this was a very conscious decision to have the show made before the popularity of the final season.
That is baffling.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Cause my theory sort of gave them a lot of, like, there was data to work off, and but no, it was.
Oh, and they're far into production. Like, the Kyners are already scoring the show.
So, is there a chance? And God, I hope there's not. I read a vague. I don't even know. I've just got this theory that I read on the internet, and it upset me so much that I didn't want to go. I didn't want to click or know anymore. I was just like, meh, I can deal with this another time. That this Bad Batch turns into that Stormtrooper elite squad with lightsabers in the comics.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Because the ones in the comics have their own names and, like, everything.
Hey, Emily, this is some good news.
I mean, I don't even know what the shit you're talking about.
Oh,
so.
Trust me, you agree with me. You agree with me.
It's pretty whack.
Stormtroopers with lightsabers.
Yeah, that's why I dropped the comics. Like, it was stuff like that, and then the cyborg Akbar, where I'm like, yeah, I'm done. That's enough.
I can't even. It's gonna take me 20 years to be able to ironically enjoy Cyborg Akbar. Like,
it's so bad.
I've got my, you know, C-3PO on battle droid head figure as, like, I ironically, like, I hate love this. I don't think I could ever. It's just all negative with
it's
that
horrible.
That final page, just like, what are you doing to me?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Emily, Brittany, are you feeling higher or lower after Noah and Corey's detailed news about it and what it could be.
If the show is what Corey wants the show to be, like, it's a show I would enjoy. I really think the difference here is how optimistic we are and what, like, I think we all want the show to be the same thing. I think it's how optimistic we are of that happening, which is, yeah. I am not at all optimistic about that happening.
Totally understandable.
How about you, Brittany?
Yeah, we're doomed. This isn't going to work.
Brittany.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in Disney Gallery, The Bad Batch?
You mean Dave Filoni, The Bad Batch?
They should call it Under the Hat. Let's go Under the Hat with Dave.
That's amazing.
Brittany's facials right now. You're just like, you're having Filoni triggered.
I just want to wear the hat, okay? Like, I want to know what it's like to wear that hat. Like, I just can't think of the ideas that will pop in my head having to do with Ahsoka and clones. Like, it's wild, man.
I picture Brittany and Dave Filoni in the hat and the hat like that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine rips the toupee off George and just like crunches it up in front of him and just like, see this? I don't like it. And then she like throws it out the window or something. That's my Britney fanfic. San Diego next year, Britney.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I will be there, but I like the hat. I mean, like the hat suits him, but I just like, where would Dave Filoni be without the hat? Like, will he still have all the Ahsoka dreams and are they there? Like, I want to see what else, you know, he can come up with. I mean, it's we've seen the Mandalorian,
the
so.
The hat is actually a sentient creature. That's where all the ideas are. It's all
the hat is a wolf.
Oh, man.
You know, I will say that when Dave tweeted out about, you know, when Ahsoka's voice showed up in Rise of Skywalker, I was like, okay, she's dead. I'm glad that, you know, her story is going to have an ending. And then when Dave tweeted out, well, you know, you never know. I was like, no, no, please, please. I cannot, genuinely, I don't get upset about a lot of things with I do. But if...
I was about to say.
Yeah, what am I talking about? No. But if Ahsoka is alive in the sequel trilogy era, yeah. I would, as a huge Ahsoka fan, I would not be, I no, that would suck. That should not be the case.
Yeah.
Well, I think, was I talking to you about this the other day? That my theory is that when the Ahsokas, whatever the species is, what is it? The
Tagrudas,
When they get really old, the tentacles fall off. And that's actually her at the Lars homestead at the end of The Rise of Skywalker. Because that's
wow,
how old.
Just made me hate that movie even more.
That's how old she'd be. Because, like she's like 15, 20 years older than Luke Skywalker, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one old Ahsoka.
It'd be kind of weird if they cut right there and she says Rey Skywalker and she goes, "Wait, hold up, wait, I think I know your granddad." She goes, "Oh no, I hope you don't know my granddad."
Like, Snips's granddaughter, really?
Oh man, nah, that would be that. Nah, I like that theory though. Still, I like it. I like
thanks,
it.
Buddy.
No.
Thanks. If you can,
makes the Rise of Skywalker. I love that movie even more now. Thank you.
Someone could Photoshop that for a thumbnail. I could get trending pretty damn soon.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, guys. So let's go through the pictures. You might need some pen and paper to I want you to mark down your top three. Okay. So the first project is The Bad Batch. That's Dave Filoni's idea. Then You have got 6 years after the rise of Skywalker, Rey and the evil Broom Boy. Or you have got the young adventures of Jin, possibly with, oh my God, Forrest Whitaker. What's his?
Saw Gerrera.
Saw Gerrera. Sorry about that one. You've got pirate ship. Pirate spaceship. Pirate ship the spaceship. The cartoon. Emily's one. You've got Luke Skywalker hanging out with Ahsoka. And then you've just got Luke Skywalker. No Ahsoka. And you can't vote for your own.
Oh, easy.
I knew that was going to bum out Corey.
Brittany, question.
Yes.
About your show.
Oh, yeah, this is good. Good segment. The questions about the details. Yes. Excellent. Excellent.
We're all Dave Filoni now.
This is your 150 showing here.
Where's my hat? I need a hat. Shit, I don't have a hat. But all go. Right.
So we're gonna get younger Jenner. So what is the possibility of possibly other characters from Rogue One showing up? Because that's going to affect my voting.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Well, that's gonna. This is my pen's about to.
Emily,
might there be a young man in a cape?
Glad you asked. You know, there might even be a man in a hat, in a very floppy hat.
When Krennic was younger, he didn't wear a cape. He wore a poncho.
Well, that was because it was raining on that planet.
All right.
That's his rain poncho.
So he grew into the cape, is all. That was my headcanon. All right, that is a very compelling question, though, Emily. That could,
I have a question for you, Steele.
Yes.
Can we at least get like a cameo of Ahsoka meeting Luke?
Hey, dude, I want your vote, but nah.
God. Oh, man.
Steel goes up a number on my list.
Yeah. Oh, and guys, don't worry. There'll be no Ahsoka Tano cameos in my Jin show.
You guys don't realize the amount of pain I've just felt in that moment. It's pretty extreme.
Emily, can you just give me the two-line pitch on your one again? I just want to really get a gist of what's going on.
Set in the High Republic, pirate ship going around, doing piratey things and occasionally fucking with a Jedi.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Go on. That might, you know, that might have swayed my vote a little bit.
I'm just shocked Emily didn't say a Krennic series. I am shocked. Or like a Krennic and Tarkin team up.
Here's the thing is, what would that show actually be?
It doesn't even have to be anything. It's just them doing stuff.
Oh.
I'd read a book about it. I don't think it can support a show. I'm trying to be at least slightly realistic.
It could just be them arguing over like all the time on the Death Star.
All right. This turned out to be harder than I thought it was going to be.
No, you made it very easy for me, Steele.
Okay. All right, wait there. I'm just going to fold some paper to make a score sheet. All right, Corey. So I think how we'll do it, if you go from 3-2-1, so your lowest top, you know, like number three, number two, number one, and I'll score them like accordingly. So,
okay. So number three? Number three would be the Jin Erso show. I think that's a cool concept. I love Jin, so I would love anything else with her in it. At number two, I would say your Luke show, much to my dismay, that yes. Ahsoka wouldn't be in it. But to be honest with you, like, I would love to see Luke and Han. And this one shocks the hell out of me that I would say number one. It genuinely shocks the hell out of me. But I'll tell you why I want to see it, is Noah's idea.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For a post-Rise of Skywalker show. Because I want to see Broom Boy utterly devastate everyone for being left. I want Broom Boy to go nuts. Like, he, this poor guy.
Opening scene. Opening Canto scene. Bite. He's wrecking shop, dude.
Dude.
On everyone.
I am in. Because they just left all of them there. Yeah. So I want Broom Boy to just, like... Like, I want him to still have the ring, the resistance ring, so that when he ends up seeing them again, he takes it off and cuts it with the lightsaber.
But doesn't it totally ruin the end of The Last Jedi?
I don't care. Like, I just want to see this guy. Yeah, I think that it could symbol... Well, you know, maybe he's filled with hope for, like, the first week. And then he's, and then after that, he's like, oh, they're not coming back for me. Oh, it's been a year. Oh, the Emperor's back. Oh, they're still torturing us. Like,
I think your Broom Boy dream story is going to mirror your journey through the Bad Batch. You're okay for the first week, and then...
But to be honest, I also really love Emily's idea with I really do. I think that'd be cool, still.
Canto Brit.
Well, everyone's options were great options, and I was very happy to see the creativity.
As the arm goes around to hug, I feel like there's a dagger hidden in the hand.
No, as I'm holding my fist up. Okay. Okay, number three is the Luke show featuring No Ahsoka. Number two is Pirates. Yay. And number one is Evil Broom Boy.
Oh my god, look at that.
I really like that. Like, that's just such a good idea. Like, my only worry about that show would be, like, what's, you know, because there's going to be a big battle between, like, Broom Boy or Luke and Luke or something. But, like, is Broom Boy going to go away? Like, I would hate that. Because, you know, when you have that really good bad guy, like, the first season, then he goes away and they replace him with, like, the 17th Inquisitor, you know?
Yeah. No, Broom Boy will be there to stay for the entire series.
All right.
Wonderful.
Listen. I don't know if this has come through on my podcast or not, but I love statistics. Love the numbers, right? So at the moment, I'm terrified because Broom Boy, Evil Broom Boy, is so far ahead, double anyone else's votes with six.
There we go.
But here's the thing. There's three more voters. Noah can't vote for his own idea.
Nope. All right.
Where will Emily sit on this? This is, I'm very interested. But let's go to Noah first.
All right. My three is Luke with no Ahsoka. Corey, I'm sorry. But we've seen her enough.
Oh, dude, you freaking traitor.
Corey,
we're done.
I'm sorry.
I'm getting a new co-host.
I appreciate your support with Broom Boy. But I'm just.
I want to take it back.
You've got enough Ahsoka. You've got enough Ahsoka, and the fact that we haven't seen Luke pass Return of the Jedi.
But it makes sense. It makes sense.
You know, the seeing Luke and turn on the green lightsaber is definitely something I like to see. So that's three. My two is young Jyn. I love Jyn Erso, so I'd love to see that. And my number one is definitely Emily's pirate show.
Yes.
Because whenever you said fucking with the Jedi every now and then, I was like, okay, I'm on board. That sounds like a lot of fun. So that's where I'm going with my number one, the pirate show. I'm sorry, Corey. Don't shake your head at me.
No. We'll talk later. It's fine.
All right. Well, as I don't know which way Emily's going to go, so I will throw my votes in now. And I'm not doing this to sway Emily either, because I'm sure she's hedge. I just realized now it'd be really sus. My number three pick is Luke's show with Ahsoka.
Thanks.
Your one vote, Corey.
Thank you, Steel. I knew you'd come through in some way.
It's the last time we'll hear that.
My two is going to go to Young Jyn Erso. Noah, listen, buddy, putting your hand up. No, hey, dog. There's no way I'm going for Evil Broom Boy, all right? Like, what is going on? I saw the hope. You had a fist of like...
Let's go. I was waiting for it. You're
the most desperate Oscar nominee. Just like, come on.
He's ready for that hit.
I am.
And my number one is High Republic Pirate Ship.
There we go.
Emily Lind.
All right. I mean, as much as I want to see, like, Rey and Finn, I can't deal with Evil Broom Boy because I'm very precious about the end of The Last Jedi. And at my love for Rian Johnson, and so I can't have that hope be dashed, even if it means I have to agree with Steele on something.
I think Rian would love the show, honestly. I think he would be a huge proponent of the show. I didn't think about this until just now, but Finn and Rose were like, this is terrible. All right, bye. And just
they freaking left him. And they just,
the kids are like, all right, let's play with wheat as our toy. This is Luke Skywalker.
It's not Finn and Rose's fault that like J.J. Abrams went, fuck all that shit.
Very true.
You got a point there.
Okay. Three is going to be with the Bad Batch, are we including what Corey wants the Bad Batch to be, or what I think the Bad Batch is actually going to be?
You can, the Bad Batch vote can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bad Batch was an option.
Yes.
I would have changed mine up a little bit, but go ahead.
It's so telling that no one's chosen it at all.
I did. I forgot that it was an option.
That's also. Would not you a have good chosen time. It though, Corey?
Yeah, probably. To be honest.
What ranking? Like, we're gonna do like a redo. Like, let's go back in time.
I'll let Emily go, and then we'll do, a special edition.
I can't deal with this not being like I can't. The stats.
Okay, then we're not considering the Bad Batch at all. Like, nobody else did. I'll just won't
talk
about it. Okay, so yeah. Then I'm going to go with number three is going to be Luke with Ahsoka.
Ah, yes. Two votes.
Number two is going to be Luke without Ahsoka.
Yes.
And number one is going to be Jyn Erso, because I like Jyn, and also because I think I could probably convince Brittany to write in Mendo.
This is great.
All right. I'm just doing some quick tallying here. This is very exciting to see what the new Star Wars cartoon is going to be. Oh, no.
Emily, though, would you rather Broom Boy actually be seen again? Or do you just, you know, because if he's not going to be in this show, you probably won't see him ever again anyway.
No, I like the idea of Broom Boy represents. Like, I don't care about like ever after seeing him again. He's not a character. He's like manifestation.
He was more of a was a message. He was a message. Yes. Yeah.
I'm up for more Broom Boy. Ignite the broom, I say. Sweep the broom. All right, guys, the results are in. And they're controversial.
Mm.
We're going to have to go down to a sudden death.
Uh-oh.
But speaking of sudden deaths, with a mere two votes.
Thanks. I just can't wait for this podcast to come out and everyone to hear this and be like, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, one of those votes was mine, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I Emily and Steele forever in my hearts, but Brittany and Noah. Oh man.
Brittany's cold. She just doesn't bat an eyelid at your pain, I don't think.
Corey's just greedy with Ahsoka, man. You're going to get her in Mandalorian. You got season 7. You're getting her sequel series for Rebels. You got enough Ahsoka, man.
He's spoiled with the Tano.
That's right.
I think I've just worked out the thing with Brittany is because she's sitting in bed, it's like a power play. Like, I'm sitting at a desk. Do you know how much the amount of effort it takes for me to sit at a desk? And yeah, I feel like I'm getting negged here. But All right. So, Ahsoka with Luke Skywalker doing very badly. Equal third. With 6 votes, we've got Rey and Finn, fresh off a 6-year vacation, coming face-to-face with evil Broom Boy. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Luke Skywalker, no Ahsoka involvement, igniting the green. But equal first place. Kathleen does not know what to do. With 8 votes, this could start a Canto Bight civil war. Young Jyn Erso up against pirate spaceship in the High Republic. So, as is tradition, in the first ever vote off on the show, we will have a sudden death. Noah.
Yes.
Corey.
Corey's mad, so.
Corey, are you going Jyn Erso, Young, or High Republic pirate spaceship?
God, I'm sorry. I got to go with Jyn.
You know what? I am taking my point away from Corey.
Emily's putting the Bad Batch there instead.
Yes. Noah Outlaw, Young Jyn Erso, or High Republic pirate spaceship.
They're both great. You know, they're both great ideas, but I think. I want to get into these new eras of Star Wars, and I think the High Republic's interesting to me, so I'm gonna go with the pirate show. I'm gonna go with that. I like Jyn, but pirate show, new time period. I feel like there's a lot more to see and a lot more to learn about.
Respectable answer.
There you go.
And
but I'd love to see your show, Brittany. I really would.
Thank you. I'd love to see yours too.
Thank you.
I would actually. Like, actively try to halt production of Evil Broom Boy. I'd be going past the studios. I'd be burning hats. I'd be doing whatever I had to do to not see that. Man.
Thank you for your support, man.
In the sudden death between Jyn Erso and Pirate Spaceship in the New Republic or the High Republic, I got to tell you, Noah Outlaw makes some compelling points. I want a new era. Yep. I want some new action. With a win, greenlit. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Pirates. Thank you, Emily Lind. We are heading off to the High Republic on a pirate ship in space. Let me ask you this, Emily.
Yes.
Can the spaceship land in water?
I mean, it can survive landing in water.
And Jyn Erso takes the win. Hey, wait, first up, Brittany, mm-hmm. Can Jyn Erso land in water?
I don't know if she can swim.
All right, we're back to Emily. I did want some water in this. Pirate spaceship, I think that's a very compelling. Would they be like kind of like anti-heroes?
I was thinking like tonally probably. So I don't know if you ever watched Firefly, but like that sort of thing. Like they're not like horrific rapists and murderers like actual pirates are, but they're not like Heart of Gold Robin Hood either.
Mm. Well, I got to be honest, like that would have, I think, swayed my opinion a little bit because I was thinking like Hondo.
Corey, how bad does this series have to be for you not to buy the Funko Pops?
Which series?
The Bad Batch.
I don't currently own a Funko Pop aside from the Cad Bane.
No way.
Yeah, so I don't. Yeah, so I'm not gonna get them.
Even if it's amazing, I guess Corey isn't going to get the Funko Pop.
Well, I'll probably get them and then end up selling them in 6 months after. So right. That's what's going to happen.
That's the realistic.
I'll be honest. I don't know why I bought this. Like, I was so excited about the Clone Wars coming back that I had to get this Hunter life-size standee. And then it's just here all the time. And then it freaks me out first and foremost when, like, I forget that I have it.
Was the headband included, Corey?
No, but
I've been eyeing that boy like all night, and I'm just sitting here. I'm like, who is that? What is that? How much was that? Like,
that's too much.
I hope you didn't spend a lot on that because, like, who is he?
That's Hunter from the Bad Batch.
You should have pitched a Hunter, just a Hunter solo. Could have got Brittany's vote with that one. Well, guys, that was that was super fun. I have to thank you all for coming on. I've had a delightful time. It's weird. I don't get to talk to a large, like I haven't talked to this amount of people for like 8 years. I think
it's 8 years.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how there's a theory, it might be canon, I don't know, but on Dagobah, like time lasts longer. Like Luke was on Dagobah longer than like Han was on Bespin or something. Have you guys heard that? Yeah.
I've heard the theory. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's what's happening now.
I agree.
It's only been 4 months or whatever, but like in this bubble, under this mask, time goes far slower. So thanks, guys. It's been good to chat. Anytime. Let the good people know where you can find your content and tweets and such. Emily Lind.
So Brittany and I do a podcast called The Cantabite Dispatch, and it's on Twitter and Instagram at Cantabite Pod. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at EF Lind, and I also do a podcast about Vin Diesel movies, and it's called The Fan and the Furious, and please check it out. We started talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise, and now we're going through Vin Diesel's entire filmography and trying to unravel the mystery of one of the most interesting actors around.
Oh my God, I love that. That's awesome.
Fucking love that.
That's amazing.
To get Vinny in, so he'd be a good Mandalorian bounty hunter for a week or something. Get him going. Canto Brit, where you at, buddy?
You can find me on Instagram as Brittany the Ginger and Canto Brit on Twitter.
And again, congratulations on the anniversary. I just love listening to you guys every
thank
week.
Thank you.
It genuinely makes my week better. I very much listen to you guys chat. Corey, where you at, buddy?
Yeah, you can follow me at Corey_Wolfpack on Twitter, as well as KR Transmissions on Twitter. Obviously, me and Noah run Custom Run Transmissions on YouTube, so you can find us there. And the links to all our other podcasts and whatnot are on that channel. I put out a couple other deeper podcasts from time to time, so I'm starting to do that a little bit more, and that is where you can find me.
Noah,
you can follow me on Twitter at Outlaw Noah and on Instagram at VOutlawNoah, and like Corey said, Kessel Run Transmissions. We have Kessel Run Radio, every Wednesday. And a bunch of other stuff. We do reactions to, like, when Mandalorian season 2 comes out, and when The Bad Batch comes out, we're going to be pumping out reactions so you can see if our fears come to fruition right as it happens. So
the I've been loving the channel. My favorite thing, and I don't mean to leave you out of this one, Noah, but watching Corey watch that final Clone Wars episode,
oh yeah,
was just like, it was like watching someone's like childhood trip through Disneyland or something. It was just immaculate. Yeah. And I have to say, I texted Corey about this. Massive congratulations for the scoop. You came through with the goods, guys, and it's hard to run a fact-based Star Wars news channel on YouTube, but you got the goods, buddy. So salute to you guys. Nicely done. You can follow us at Steel Wars on everything, and check out, if you are new to the show, on YouTube, a multitude of interviews with people from Star Wars films, from J.J. Abrams to Harrison Ford, and then podcast interviews with one of the stars of Britney's Young Jyn Erso animated adventures, director Krennic, Mendo himself. So check that out. Thank you guys so much. It has been a Steel. Treat. Yes.
Do you want me to give you a little sizzle?
Ooh. Oh, wow. This is like an after credits scene. Wow, we've got the beanied Feige here. Just
No idea what he's about to say. So
wait there. I just want to get this on. I'm cracking a beer for this. Wow.
Yes. Great. So yeah, I figured I'd give you a little something. For all of you guys who are a fan of Solo, A Star Wars Story, we can say that we've heard some things that will make you happy very soon.
Yes.
So there's your sizzle.
Is this about a new StarWarsNews.net t-shirt? Or... Okay, very interesting. Very interesting. I definitely know those guys' ears will prick up to that. And
by the way, that has nothing to do with what Alden said, because I know that just came out too, and there's no correlation between that.
Okay, well, we await further news on that one. Thank you guys so much. It has been a treat. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a sweet thumbs up on YouTube, or a 5-star review on iTunes, or a retweet on Twitter, the home of retweets. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.